When looking for the King of Podcasts, you're at the wrong channel.
Well, excuse me!
Looking for good ideas for life? You're far from good hands.
Hey, bud, what's your problem?
If you think the listener is always right, you're far from the right place.
Out of order! Even in the future, nothing works!
Hosted by a Northeasterner by birth, but a rebel by choice.
Are you threatening me?
If you want a host that floats between love and madness,
and we know the night is always gonna be here anyway. Thinking of you's working up my appetite, looking forward to a little afternoon delight.
Then play on and listen to Crazy Train Radio.
All right, guys, listen to this blues riff and B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?
Warning, creators of this game do understand the subject matter may be offensive to some, but they do honor the families and people that have been affected by these real life tragedies that these individuals have caused. Want to play a game?
Oh yeah!
Lover of true crime?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, we got an interesting game for you to check out.
Wow.
With the mashup of influences such as horror movies, collecting cards, and RPGs.
What?
Led to giving birth to an incredible creation of this game, Killers the Card Game.
You are all my children now.
This game is a collectible trading card game featuring some of the most infamous killers with tidbits of trivia on the back of each card to help you learn some insight to each criminal.
Who the hell are you?
Let's not forget, during the game, cops will be chasing you and these criminals.
I'm a cop, you idiot!
However, check out their website listed through all social media today, which can be found under Killers the Card Game.
Am I on the internet?
I want to play a game.
Hey guys, it's me, Felissa Rose Angela from Sleepaway Camp, and you are listening to Crazy Train Radio.
Hey folks, it's your least favorite host in the podcast world, Croc, Jonathan Steele. And boy, do we have a good one for you today.
Before I get started, folks, since I already hit the record button, it's been 2 years. I've been trying this. And of course, Brian saw me when he came in a room. We're joined by Brian Young, who is part of the Transatlantic Historical Podcast. I always screw the title up just to screw
with
him.
History ramblings, but that's okay.
Yeah, see, I do it all, just a rib. It's a rib, folks. But he caught me pouring bourbon already 1 o'clock this afternoon. But it is what it is.
I approve.
So anyway, this next guest is probably best known for her portrayal of lead character Angela Baker at the tender age of 13 years old in a little controversial film at the time that has elicited a myriad of responses and interpretations over the years, with some reactions to the film that have included accusations of transphobia and all kinds of things. But in that film, I think everybody knows who listens to us,
is Sleepaway Camp, but she's also done so much more in her career. Such films as, I'll throw off the top of my head, Victor Crowley, Terrifier 2, Camp Dread, and others. So let's welcome Miss Felissa Rose. Howdy. Aww,
thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Enjoy that bourbon. It looks...
It is. Here, I'll show you what it is.
That I keep...
Ooh, it looks fantastic.
Well...
I have to go get some.
I'll tell you what. I'll bring some. I think you're in Jersey next week, right?
I am. That New Jersey Horror Con from April 19th to the 21st.
So I will bring some because that's about an hour from me north.
Awesome. We'll drink Kane because Kane Hodder will be there.
Well, I've known Kane for a couple of years. Great guy. But he's not afraid to fuck with you.
Oh, we know. I have a podcast with him. I've dealt with a lot. He's the great person on the planet. And Tiffany Shepis is our third co-host. It's the three of us, and we just have so much amazing fun doing what we do.
And that's called Casually Friday Podcast. I will put a link to that as well.
Thank you.
But I also, the other quick thing before we dive in, because we got a short amount of time, is Bloody Summer Camp 2. I just checked. I had Dave Kerr on about a month or so or 2 months ago. But as we sit with the Indiegogo, I think they're $36,165 raised. So that'll be about a quarter of Felissa's salary. Thank you, folks.
Yeah, I got your money.
But no. I'll put a link to that because I know they're trying to, the more money it goes into the independent projects with Indiegogos and such, the more they can do. But Brian, I know you're just as excited as I am. So would you like to start off with a question for Miss Rose?
Well, I'd like to start off with a comment, actually, is that, you know, I'm a film nut. I'm a film nerd. I'll say it. I don't care. And film historian. And I've delivered lectures at places on everything from Ingmar Bergman to Ken Russell. But horror's always been my favorite genre, no matter what. So that always pisses off the other film snobs, first off. And I'm a little disappointed that he didn't mention Zombiegeddon or Satan's Playground or some of the other classics. But I was at the Niagara Falls Horror Con earlier this year. I had to go because I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Love that show.
I was amazed. You don't remember me because you meet tons of people at cons. I said hi to you, and you were by far and away the happiest, bubbliest, smiliest, friendliest person I have ever seen at a con. And it's just incredible. And I don't know how you do it because, you know, I could never do that at a con. I couldn't be that bubbly and happy all the time. And you are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Do you really love doing them that much?
I, aside from loving them, because the energy in the room is so amazing with our community. And I love horror. I love our genre. I'm, you know, mesmerized by the people in the room. I'm always just flabbergasted by what's surrounding me, like all of the movies I grew up on and the people I love. But I do love life. I mean, my name is Felissa and it means happy. And my parents were like, you were always like this from when you were little. It's just sort of, I think, my personality that I really, really appreciate and I'm grateful for every moment.
If I can tell you something, as you know, last March, I was in California at Anthony DeLonge's ranch and a few other people. And speaking of conventions, I flew overnight to see another guest in Atlantic City. And Felissa happened to be there. So I went to go say hello and such. And somebody, you know, and I think Felissa will testify to this, but at times fans bring the guests gifts and stuff like that. And Felissa got the funniest gift I ever saw. And obviously I knew the backstory, but somebody came with a coffee mug for her because Joe Bob Briggs started by calling her the mangled dick expert. Mangled somebody dick gave expert. Her a coffee cup with it on there.
What?
It's my favorite. It's my favorite mug. It's everything about Joe Bob Briggs. I'm just so in love with. And certainly that title has been incredibly fun to be on the show and, you know, enjoy those moments together.
I don't know if it's better when you're actually there on the set with them when you're doing the mangled dick take, or when it's on the phone and it's just the picture of you making the Angela face on screen the whole time.
I love him so much. I can't believe like that started July of 2018. And, you know, that's 6 years ago. It feels like a minute went by. It's been such a blast, you know?
And I've been watching him since 1983 when he was on the movie channel for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it hits me. I was at he did an event in my hometown, and I went to it because I actually wanted to get one of John Bloom's books signed. So I had to ask him if John Bloom was around too.
How did he respond to that? I love that.
Well, when he was doing the meet and greets afterwards, you know, I made sure to be quiet about it. You know, I leaned in, I said, is John Bloom here as well? And he looked at me and he goes, he can be. And I said, because I've always wanted to have this signed. It was Eccentric Orbits, the phenomenal book. And he just looked, he's like, you actually read this? Like, no, I read it twice. I wanted to do a show about it, but, and he was great. He you know, signed it as John Bloom and, but he still never broke character for anybody around, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, he's just one of the smartest individuals I've ever met. And he's certainly one of the most, you know, unbelievably intellectually sound person on film, period. Just amazing to me, his knowledge. I said he was IMDb before there was IMDb.
Without question. He turned us, people like me, into film fanatics. And not just horror film fanatics, but, you know, I grew up watching him and he would break down films, even though it was a comedic way. It turned us into film lovers. As did you. We watched you grow up in film.
Oh, you're so sweet.
Well, before we get into the film projects, I'm sorry. And Brian was talking books because obviously he's an respected author as well. But I want to bring up Jeff Hayes's book, Sleepaway Camp. So,
I didn't even know that was coming out.
Yeah, well, I saw you sign a copy in Jersey the last time when I came to say hello briefly.
Amazing to see those books because I'm like, wow, this was a great surprise. And for the 40th anniversary, you know,
absolutely.
That's impossible.
They're celebrating the film and it's been a lot of fun.
It's impossible that it's the 40th anniversary of the film because you were not negative 20 when the film was made.
I love you. Yeah, I can't. It's amazing to me. It feels like yesterday. Really does.
But with everything, the love and everything else like that, and Brian mentioned about your personality at the convention, so happy and bubbly, and you responded to that. I can say, and this ain't to kiss Felicia's ass, because I don't do that kind of thing.
I do.
But... Well, I know you do, Brian, but that's a whole other conversation for another time. But I can say from my experience in dealing with Felicia for a couple of years now and everything else like that, what you see at the shows, like what Brian was talking about, that is what you get. That is truly her. So.
I mean, I would hope that everybody is authentically like true to themselves. And I think especially as you get older, I can speak for me, it's a waste of time to try to like insert yourself as something that you're really, it's too much energy. You know, you are who you are. And just for me, it's like I'm raising three kids and I really strive to try to be a good role model for them and be conscious human beings who are kind and good people. And I think that the only way to do it is by
being, I had great examples. My mom and dad are amazing human beings and taught me just the love for everyone. And I think I was really, really lucky to grow up in the home that I did. A lot of love and a lot of caring. There was complete inclusivity. And, you know, that's an important aspect to our journey here, I believe. It's greater than, I always say, making the, you know, horror movies and going to conventions is beautiful and such an incredible adventure. You know, I love traveling. I love meeting people. I love film. But it transcends the actual medium. What it really does is it connects people and it brings us together. And I've made my best friends from conventions and shared some of the most beautiful stories with people. And that's what life is truly about. So although it seems like, oh, you go to conventions, it's fun, it's exciting, and it is, and the parties are great and everybody's wonderful, but it's so poignant and so deep. For me, it's on such a different level of like the human connection, which is what I love.
Well, you know, a good reason for that is horror is unlike any other genre to its fan base. Like I said, I've done lectures, academic scholarly lectures on film, and it's appreciated and people will break them down and they look for the esoteric meanings and things, but it's so much more personal for horror fans. It's more of a community. It's more family-like. And people like you, or I was actually at the convention to see Betsy Baker, who's a good friend.
Love those ladies.
Well, it's funny. That's what I was in town. I went up there specifically because I had promised to take Betsy for the best chicken wings in Buffalo.
Whose show was that on? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was on this show. Yeah. But I promised I'd take her for the best wings in Buffalo. And they were flying out that afternoon, so they actually couldn't go. But she's like, you better come up here anyway to hang out. That's the night I met you. Did you get to go down the Maid of the Mist like they did and all the Canadian fun stuff?
I did. I've been to that show, Frightmare in the Falls, twice now. I love Chris, who runs the show. I think it's one of the greatest shows we have, quite honestly. I'm obsessed with it. It's just so much fun. And it's due to the landscape. So I did a lot while I was there the first time.
Now, did you want to get the best wings in all of Buffalo, where we invented the wing?
I am a wing lover, so I...
Well, you have not had wings until you've had the greatest.
I'm going to get on that show next year so I can come hang out with you.
If you do Frightmare in the Falls next year, I will come up to the falls. You just make sure you have your passport because you got to cross back into the States.
Yes.
And I will take you for the best chicken wings in the world.
I love that. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Oh, I have to go for wings and bourbon tonight. That's my...
Yeah, but you're not going to get the best wing. Well, yeah, eat all the wings you can. And then once you've had the best, you'll be like, oh my God.
That's right.
I'm going to the show every year.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm curious, before we bring up sleepaway camp and all that fun stuff, because you obviously brought up your kids. You have two daughters and a son, which, by the way, folks, I'll put a link into it. And I'm sure it's either good or bad, depending on the day with Felissa. But there's this great music video when she was pregnant with one of her kids.
Oh boy. I actually wasn't pregnant.
You weren't? That was all set up?
It was just the way the creators wanted the, group to... I can't even with this. It's like a bad dream following me. And... my friend Branson, he cosplayed us with another friend at my show last weekend in Nashville, Full Moon. And it was hilarious. They came up. It's called the Tubi Moms. It was like a funny little rap thing we did. And
yeah,
people found it.
But I
know that's what I'm talking about that.
But with all the jokes aside, you mentioned, obviously, the way you were raised by your parents and stuff. What do you think stands out with you as a mom that you try to raise your kids and such? Is there something that really you go, I learned that from mom and dad?
I mean, I think there's a few things and it's only because my kids tell me, apparently when we used to go to school in the car, I used to say, let's all say together, I can, I will. And so apparently that was our mantra in the car. And that was just to like give them some confidence, because young people, in unfortunately, as we all know, and this leads us into sleepaway camp, bullying is a real unfortunate part of, you know, our young people's lives in school. So I would just try to give them that little boost. And I would like to believe that I think my kids are the greatest people on the planet. They're very kind, loving people. They're very loyal people. I love watching them with their friends. They are so incredibly loving to the people around them. I learn from them every day. I have learned so much from my children. They're fun. They're loving. They're just well-meaning people. And I think that's important, you know.
Well, it's funny because we obviously touched on it a little bit with sleepaway camp, but you mentioned it with the bully and such, that we think, all kidding aside, that 40 years later, it almost seems like full circle because of this story that Robert put together. And, you know, between the LGBTQ plus community and
he can't
transgender.
Say my podcast name either. Don't feel bad.
I do it to break your balls, but no, with all kidding aside, it's, you know, just transgender and everything else that is going on and big topics today, but was also a theme of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine that it would still have some impact today because of the themes and topics?
I mean, you know, when I read the script, I was 12. So in my 12-year-old mind, it was a story about kids going to camp. And that's exactly how it played out when we were filming. It was like going to sleepaway camp. And when you make a movie, it's nothing like what you see on the page, because you do a few lines at a time. In my case, no lines. And you're just hanging out with these amazing young actors. We were all best friends. So there was nothing negative. And it was certainly a wonderful experience that I look back on today. And I'm like, this was the greatest time of my life. But now looking at the themes, gender identification and sexual orientation and the bullying, they resonate with our, you know, society today and social commentary today. And I am all about trans rights. Some of my best friends, I went through their transition with them, and I'm grateful for it. I think it's important for all of us to support one another. I will always stand for that. Karen Fields, who played Judy, her son is trans, and she's just an amazing mom. And I love Elliot. And Karen Fields works for the Trevor Project. And I think just hopefully that is the lesson. Let's take care of each other. The reason Angela kills in the movie is because she was so terribly bullied. And the bullying began with Aunt Martha, you know, the true villain of the film. So, I mean, we break sleepaway camp down quite a bit. I think now it has a different connotation, like, you know, just really trying to, again, support young people and make sure that they're taken care of. Okay. I just don't want any bullying. I'm anti-bullying. And, you know, we have to support each other.
No, because it's just amazing when you, and maybe this is the history guy and it somewhat intellectual with the 5 brain cells in my head, but it's just amazing that you read the script at 12. And obviously you had your mom involved as a stage mom, and that story's been told. But it's like, for me, when you think about that, the heaviness and all that. And like you said, you had fun at sleepaway camp. It's this, it's that, it's the other, the way you looked at it. But it's like, especially at that stage of your life, you know, you're getting ready to hit a teenager. You're getting ready to go through puberty and this, and, you know, just that stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
And to be, it was pretend you were taking that role and heaviness of what the project was, but it's like so amazing that, for what it was. Yeah, it was an 80s campy, cheesy movie. Yes. But, you know, when you think about the intellectual side of it, it's just in the stage you were at life and all.
I'll disagree with you on that. It was not a cheesy 80s slasher film.
We had the boys with the half shirts and the shorts.
Yeah, you had the stereotypical things.
I agree with you. Sleepaway Camp is a dual film.
Yes.
It plays into, you know what? I'll go even further than that. Sleepaway Camp has two showings. The first time, and you're like, what is this? Everybody's talking New York. They have the short shirts. They're making fun of this girl. This is crazy. There's a baseball scene. And then you see the end. And then you have the second watch, and you start to put the pieces together, and you understand a lot more. And then it has the profound meaning that's really deep underneath in the family.
That intellectual side of things. But Brian, go ahead. I'd like to hear the rest of your argument.
Yeah, it's a much deeper film than most of the slasher genre films because it worked on so many levels. Mm-hmm. And it did show Angela killed out of being pushed to that limit. And another theme that you neither of you touched upon yet, but I think is crucial to the film, was the child predator, who everyone recognized was a child predator and didn't do anything about it. That was prominent. And nowadays, that was something that would be first time he said anything creepy like that. There's no way they'd let him near kids. But at that time, people would, ha, 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 he's just a weirdo. And they hit upon that theme there. And, you know, Angela kills him for damn good reason.
Yeah. I mean, his opening line is something I don't even want to repeat.
No, it's awful.
It's so despicable and gross. And it's like the older people in the camp heard it. The Mel heard the comment, and they're still putting me in his, yeah, you know, ice chest, whatever, in the back of the room with him.
Yeah.
Like, what are, you know, again, you're right. That's another part of that time. And, you know, is definitely the biggest reason why he's off. And then the girls are so mean. If Mean Girls were a horror movie, they would be off, all of those girls. And Tina Fey wrote in her book, Bossy Pants, how she loves Sleepaway Camp and she watched it growing up. And then I went to see it on Broadway and she had her lead character wear a Sleepaway Camp t-shirt. And I asked him at backstage after the show, he said, oh yes, she made me wear it because it's her favorite horror movie. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's nuts. But those are mean girls. They are killed because they, you know, not that we condone killing here, but it's a good revenge, you know, entertainment story. And those girls are mean, like a lot of young teenage girls. And so Angela's like, no, you're not getting away with this.
No. And it's, I can't say that it was accidental that they hit on all these themes, that they were just trying to make a genre slasher film. What'll be good ways to kill and what'll be shocking. There's more to it. You don't hit that many layers of it without intending to. So I don't think it should be thrown in the same category as a lot of the just throwaway slasher films. It's more meaningful. It's more important today, I think, than it was even then. And it holds up to this day. Except for the half shirts and the
shorts. You
know. Which, hey, are coming back.
In my life, they're not.
Well, Brian, because you're 6'5", you wouldn't wear the shorts. But
I'm 6'5" and over 300 pounds and an old man. It's not coming back.
I love chatting with the two of you. Thank you for that incredible breakdown of the movie and understanding that it does hit on a lot
more to it.
What meets the eye, yeah.
Sorry, I said, plus you have a mangled dick. So...
I mean, Joe Bob still talks about it.
I know I'm going to catch heat for this. So save the emails and the Instagrams and all that stuff. But I got to tell the joke publicly. I told Felicia the first one I told her when I first met her briefly. I think it might have been at Atlantic City even several years prior to last year.
Yeah.
And Brian, I think I may have told you this, but Felicia has obviously 8x10s of the final scene with the mouth and, you know, the wide shot. And I said to Felicia, you know, you made me jealous she goes, she looks at me dead serious, like, hold on, he's being serious here for a second. Why? What's up? I said, well, to be honest with you, at 13 years old, I was jealous because you had a bigger dick than I do now.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
You know, actually, that's if I can get serious for a moment.
Go ahead, Brian.
And it is such a shocking ending, especially for the time, and so dramatic. And you were a 13-year-old girl at the time, and it was a pretty successful film. I mean, did that whole shock ending and things like really mess with your psyche or in your group of friends or, you know, weird fan letters? Or because, I mean, you know, you just hear some horror stories about like Linda Blair's problems after The Exorcist. I'm sure a different level, different subject matter. But, you know, at that age, and like you said, you're a 13-year-old girl. 13-year-old girls are mean. You know, how was it easy to deal with it after that film came out?
Yeah, I mean, I never heard much about about the movie. The movie sort of came and went. I was in eighth grade. I did deal with my own bullying, but it had nothing to do with it. It was more like, oh, she thinks she's an actress, she's cool. Now, I was a very insecure little girl. In fact, a lot of my, you know, like trying to be a people pleaser and everything, I think was trying to avoid my inner, like, you know, anxieties and insecurities that a lot of young people have. And I certainly never wanted anyone to think I thought anything of the sort. Like, I'm an actress. I did not think that. But there were some mean girls and they were like, let's throw gum in her hair and let's do this to her. But I have such a beautiful family and I attribute it to them. I would go home and it was like, my parents spoke to me like a real person and they said, hurt people hurt people. They're dealing with whatever it is they're dealing with, and be more kind to them. Because when somebody's coming from a place of feeling inferior, insecure, they behave in that way. So just know where it's coming from. And that's how I think I speak to my children that way. And they understand that fully. People have made fun of them, because that's the way kids are. And, you know, I'm like, well, let me go to the school. No.
So, Brian, we only have a few minutes left. So if we can, I'd like to do a quick little personality questionnaire rapid fire with Felissa, if we can. Is that okay with you, Felissa?
By all means.
All right. So what's that?
HorrorCon? You're coming to New Jersey?
I will be at New Jersey HorrorCon, yes.
I'm doing the final scene photo op. I do the photo op, fully, you know.
Wait, yes, I will have to do that. Yeah, well, your beard ruins a lot of things, but that's a whole nother conversation. Like the sauce from the wings and things like that.
I love
it. But
save it for later, the sauce.
Yeah, there you go. But I want to hit a couple of rapid fire personality questions with you to wrap up here. Okay. So first one, what do you consider the most overrated virtue?
Oh, I don't think there's any overrated virtue.
Which words or phrases do you use? Do you most overuse?
This too shall pass.
What do you consider your greatest achievement, professionally and personally?
My children. And certainly Sleepaway Camp being the first movie I made was definitely the greatest gift to me.
What is the most treasured possession you have?
My family.
What do you most value in friends?
I don't have, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What was the next one?
Most value in friends?
Trust.
What trait do you least admire in others?
Least trait. I don't know. I mean, again, I think it goes to trust. So I think mistrust.
Favorite movie?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original.
Favorite director?
Quentin Tarantino, Martin Scorsese.
Favorite book to read?
Jonathan Livingston Seagull.
Favorite writer?
Stephen King.
Favorite music act?
You're killing me with this one. Slayer.
Well, her husband's a musician too, if I remember that correctly.
I was going to say, you're not saying.
I know. I mean, 96 Bitter Beings.
Exactly.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
That was and a final one for question me. Right there.
Well, her husband, before I ask the final one, I will say, gave her books on to learn how to produce. So he's a good egg, it sounds like.
I still have those books in my drawer.
There you go. So he is a good egg, folks. Final one for the personality questions. And this might be a shocker for folks, but favorite curse word?
Fuck, motherfucker, fucking fuck, 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 fuck.
Fuckity fuck, fuck, fuck this fuckity fucking fuck, shit.
I just love the word. It's fun to say.
It is.
I think I know the answer, Mr. Garrison. Shut up, fat boy.
Hey, don't call me fat, you fucking Jew.
Eric, did you just say the F word?
Jew?
No, he's talking about fuck. You can't say fuck in school, you fucking fat ass.
Kyle.
Why the fuck not?
Eric.
Dude, you just said fuck again.
Stanley.
Who?
Kenny.
What's the big deal? It doesn't hurt anybody. Fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck.
I have a final question, if I may.
Go ahead, Brian, please.
Do your kids realize their mother is an icon?
I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany. I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over on occasion.
That is so sweet. I didn't mean to laugh.
Well, like, it's true.
I love you and adore you. They just think like they live with this goofball who dances around and sings and is out of control.
I mean, my girlfriend just came home and I told her that I was talking to Phyllis Rose today, and she just made the Angela face as soon as I told her that. I mean, you're an icon, and she's not even that big a horror fan.
That's so kind. That is so sweet. That gives me like all kinds of goosebumps and is...
I don't know if that was a TV or whatnot, but
no, that was Sarah.
Hi
Sarah.
Hello.
Yeah, Sarah, I haven't dealt with much. I only deal with her through Brian, but she's earned her angel wings living with him, but that's a whole nother story for another time. But if you're in Jersey, folks, NJ HorrorCon, it's up in Edison next week. Bunch of guys. Kane Hodder is going to be there. Phyllis is going to be there.
Adam Green.
Buddy Adam Marcus.
And so many fun people. Michael Hargrove, like great, great, awesome, fun friends.
Absolutely. I'm definitely coming up. That's for sure. Phyllis, thank you so much.
Thank you. I love you both. And thank you for your time. I appreciate you.
Thanks.
Appreciate you.
And if you are in Niagara Falls next year, you're getting the best wings ever.
And bourbon.
And bourbon.
Well, I already promised a bourbon for next week. I'm bringing that, that's for sure.
We'll go to Kane's table with that.
Oh, absolutely. Sounds good. Safe travels. I will see you next week.
As well. Well, have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure talking to you.
So fun. I really appreciate your time.
Hey there, Friday fans. We know how much you enjoy the movies. Enjoy grabbing your Friday merchandise and interacting with the Friday family, whether it be at conventions or during our particular watch-alongs. Well, when you're looking to get yourself masks, why not check out our friends over at Camp Blood Customs out of New York State and order your specific custom mask from any of the films. All orders are made specifically your needs and wants are. Make sure you find Camp Blood Customs on Facebook, Instagram, and all over social media and order yours today.
Hey y'all, this is Adam Marcus, writer and director of Jason Goes to Hell and Secret Santa, and you are taking a ride on Crazy Train Radio. Badass.